Today, if I ask you, what is one fear you have, I'm sure something would pop into mind immediately. Or maybe you would say, well, there's a bunch of things that I walk in fear of. See, the thing with fear is debilitating. It grabs hold of us and holds on to us, and it keeps us from moving ahead in ways that we're supposed to move. I looked up a list of common fears a while back. And the number one fear most people had was speaking in public. Did not like to speak in public. And it was so bad for some people that said, I would rather die than speak in front of people. There was a list of other fears that people had. One was fear of failure. One that I kind of laughed at because it brought up a memory was fear of heights. Judy and I were in Bermuda one time. They had a lighthouse you could go up in. So we went to the top. There were a lot of people up there, but there was one woman. You know she had fear of heights because she's like this up against the wall of the lighthouse. And she had a friend there that was kind of giving her a hard time. He said, you know, I think this thing's starting to tilt. Well, she started to freak out because she was really believing what he was saying. This fear had such a grip on her. But there's fear of death, fear of the unknown, fear of being judged, fear of conflict, fear of change. I'm going to share something with you that became a fear to me, and that is a fear of snakes. I do not like snakes at all. A number of years ago, a church I was at as executive pastor, we had what they called a family fun fest. My wife was in charge of it, and she got all these things lined up. One of them was a critter show. So showing all these little animals. Well, then he starts bringing out snakes. So I went and I stood back in the parking lot because I didn't want to be near the snakes. Well, I'd walked over to where we had like a snack stand and I talked to them. I said, yeah, I do not like snakes. Well, one of them thought they were going to be funny. So they went and told the guy that's doing this, call up Brian. I'm back in the parking lot. I hear, Brian, would you come up here? And I thought, wait a minute. There's a lot of names. Brian's common. So there's a lot of men here probably named Brian. No, they were calling me up. So I go to walk up, and everybody starts clapping. I don't even know these people, but I go up, and he has a snake that he's holding with two hands. I have a picture of it, you can see. He's holding the snake with two hands, and he lays it around me. Well, let me tell you, that thing being against my neck, if you heard what I said, I had my fist clenched. I'm going, get it off, get it off. I didn't want that snake up against me because I did not like it. I don't like snakes at all, and I still don't like snakes. But the whole point of that was, for me, was to say, okay, let's face this fear. I still don't want to have a snake against my neck, but it gave me the opportunity to step up into something that I had a fear of. See, fear is universal. We all have certain things that we are afraid of. Depending on what that fear is, it can hold us back from many things in our lives. It keeps us from moving ahead in things that we need to move ahead in. So what if God called you to something immediately? You would say, oh no, can't do that. Because that fear has stepped up inside of you and you say, no, I'm not gonna be able to do that. I can't do that. God, why you call me this? I can't do that. It will hold you back from the very thing that God is calling you to step into. And we see all throughout scripture, people who walked in fear at times. Moses, he did not want to confront Pharaoh. Why? Because Pharaoh was a powerful man and he did not want to face any repercussions from this man. Gideon, he had doubts of what God was calling him to do, that he could actually do it. Elijah, he wanted to run from Jezebel. She was an evil, wicked woman. He did not want to fall under her. Peter, he denied Jesus. And he denied Jesus because he didn't want to be associated with him because his fear was he would be under the same thing that Jesus himself was facing. Allowing a snake to lay across my shoulders had no spiritual impact at all. But it was a lesson for me to say, why are you choosing fear over being fearless? See, I envisioned this snake biting me, wrapping itself around me, squeezing the life out of me, having me for dinner, not letting go. But the thing was, there was a person next to me. He was having fun with this. He thought this was pretty funny. But he was there holding the snake, and I knew that he could take care of the snake. I didn't have to worry about it because there was someone there who was going to handle this for me, that I did not have to handle that myself. When it comes to things of God, why do we fear when we know He is with us? God walks with us. His Spirit is inside of us. So why are we afraid to step out in things that He may be calling us to do? Why do you think throughout Scripture it says, do not fear, multiple times? God makes it clear He is with us despite the fears that we have. See, He wants to dispel our fears so we can move ahead in faith and in trust in Him. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to walk in fearlessness. See, faith frees us from fear. Because if we believe God and who He says He is, then why would we walk in fear? We don't need to walk in fear. Throughout Scripture, we find those that God called to step out, not in fear, but in faith, and yet they still struggled with that at times because they didn't know, is God going to fulfill what He said He would? Oftentimes, it seemed like it was beyond their preconceived ideas of what they thought they could do. But God is calling them to it, so He knew they were able to do it. Moses said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? He didn't think he could do it. Gideon said, I am the least in my family. He already labeled himself as not measuring up. Despite their insecurities, which can be fear-based, God used Moses to lead a nation of a million plus people out of Egypt. Gideon defeated an army with only 300 men, all because God was with them. There are also those who God called into action and they moved ahead because of their faith. They knew what God said, they could trust Him, they could believe. Today we're gonna focus on Abram, also known as Abraham. Abram lived in the city called Ur of Chaldees. This is what is now Iraq today. It was an advanced city, had a marketplace, had libraries, had culture, and it was also a lot of wealth. It was a very wealthy city. It would be a city that many people would want to live in because of everything that they offered the people that lived there. But the problem was, it was a godless city. God was not in this city. Ur was the center of worship for the moon god Nana, also known as Sin. So right there you know, okay, there's a problem. They worshiped Nana, Sin. Sin, as the moon god, played a multifaceted role in Mesopotamian religion. He was a big guy for them. This god symbolizes the cycles of life, time, and fertility. This god Sin was associated with cattle herding and could serve as a judge of the dead in the underworld. So you know immediately when you hear that, this was demonic. This was not of God. So there was this demonic culture within this city. They were far from God, so the city was a godless place. But in Genesis 12, 1 through 9, we see the beginning story of Abraham, or Abram at that time. And God calls him to leave the city Ur. He says this in verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household into the land that I will show you. Now, if you notice this, he says, I will show you. He doesn't say where they're going. They have no idea where he's going to go, but he knows it's somewhere God's going to lead him. Now, Abram had everything he could have ever wanted in the city of Ur. But God is calling him to leave it. He's saying, I need you to go somewhere. I'm just not going to tell you what it is. Now, you would think there would be some hesitation because he's called to leave everything he knew, his family, his friends, his finances, all those things he was walking away from because God had called him to go. But he didn't say where he was going to go. But listen to what God promised him. When he called him to go, this is what he told him. Verses 2 and 3. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. Do you see what's going on there? He's gonna make him into a great nation. He's gonna bless him. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. Not only is he receiving blessing from God, God's going to use him as a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. He's gonna take care of him. Wherever he's called to go, he's gonna watch over him. He concludes with, and all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. See what's happening? I'm calling you to go. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to take care of you. And you're going to be a blessing to many nations. That is the promises that God had made to him. Now, that sounds amazing, doesn't it? But what does that mean? See, I would have questions on this. If God called me on that, I'd say, okay, what's your agenda? What do you want to accomplish? How do I get there? Where am I going? I'd want to know all that information, but he doesn't. He says, I will go. So if we look at verse 4, it says, so Abram went as the Lord had told him. He just went in faith and trust that what God's saying, he's going to fulfill. So he's already told him, you're going to go. I'm not going to tell you where. But he tells him what's going to happen in that journey, that God is going to bless him, and he's going to use it to bless other people. The nation of Israel would come from Abram, and eventually through that, the lineage would come Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. So you see how this is playing out even further down the road. We know eventually Abram will become Abraham, and it's important we understand this because the names have two different meanings. The name Abram means the father is exalted or exalted father. So what it's saying is, here's a man who's giving glory to God the Father. Abraham means father of a multitude or father of many nations. So he's saying this is what you're going to be called to. Abram exalted God through his obedience, and that obedience transferred into fulfilling what God had sent him out to do. Because he's going to go. All God said to him was fulfilled, and his names are significant in describing this is who you are and this is what you are going to accomplish. Now, what would have been the result if Abram or Abraham did not carry out what God had called him to do? If he would say, oh no, Lord, can't do that. That's too much for me. I can't leave what I know. I'm not gonna leave my friends and my family. I'm not gonna do that. Find someone else. If he walked in fear, insecurity, or rebellion, think of the impact that would have made. Now, here's a 75-year-old man being called to go someplace he doesn't know where to go. If you say, you're gonna be a father of many nations. They couldn't have children. But he still went because he had enough faith in God to know God will accomplish what he needs to accomplish in this journey. Giving up all he had, leaving his home, friends, and family to carry that call, most of us would say, it's too great. Too much of a sacrifice. I just can't do that. But if we put aside what we would say would be major hindrances in our lives, if we put aside the sacrifice that we need to make, if we put aside the feeling of being incompetent, God can do great and amazing things. He has the ability to do that. But fear can be the very thing that we step back and say no and grab hold of our heart and keep us from being obedient to what God has called. Fear can become a stronghold if we fail to realize, even in fear, God can do amazing things. He can do great things because God has promises that he has laid out for us. We frequently talk about faith. We sing about faith. We hear that word in church all the time. But faith is the very thing that enables us to carry out the promises of God because we're trusting in him to take all those things that we hold and say, no, I can't do it. He takes those things and said, you can do this. But are you going to have faith and trust that I have the ability to do this? See, our call is to step out and trust what God is going to do, even when we feel I can't. If we feel uncertain, he can. We have to believe in that. Abraham's inheritance for Israel was the promised land of God. He knew that this was what his call was going to be eventually. So he prepared the way so God, what God promised was going to be fulfilled through him. If we put barriers or if we put expectations in the way, we have the potential to miss out on the very promises that God has for us, the blessings of God. But we have to understand it's not just about us. It's about the people that he's going to impact when we say, okay, I'm going to go. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. And his promises, pick this up, read the promises, because God has a load of promises for us if we trust and believe in him. The story is an incredible narrative, but if you haven't read it, read the story of Abraham and what God does in him. Yes, he's not a perfect person. He does fail at times. But despite his own mistakes, God still fulfilled the promises. We're gonna fail at times, but God's still gonna fulfill the promises that he has for us. See, we have to look at this, not just, that's an amazing story, that's great. We have to look at this as a blueprint for us. When God says, I need you to go, we say, okay. Because we see what happened with Abraham. We say, if God did it for him, he's gonna do that for me as well. Don't minimize the power of the story thinking, well, that works out great for everybody in scripture, but I'm not so sure that's gonna be me. Is God really gonna do that for me? No, this story is a powerful story. And the truth of it is to transform us to say, okay, if God's gonna work that way in Abraham's life, he's gonna work that way in me as well. Abraham was not exclusive in this. We are all called to go, and we have to trust and believe in the promises that he has given us. See, sometimes we let human reactions or we let feelings or emotions, insecurities, minimize the spiritual power that's available to us. Yeah, I know we have that Holy Spirit, but he does that in other people's. No, he works in all of our lives in the way that he needs to so he can fulfill his calling on us. Step into the unknown and allow God to create an amazing story out of your obedience to him. See, God's very specific in what he calls us to. We're the unique person. He's called us to certain things. But if we let something overshadow that, we're gonna miss the miraculous. Because if we read through scripture and we see the miracles that were done by the people who said yes, he's gonna do the same thing for us. All through scripture, this incredible work is done through God's children when we say, yes, I will. And sometimes we say, well, it's hard. Good. You wanna know why? Because if it's hard, that means we have to trust in him and not us. Let him work. Hebrews 11:8 speaks about the faith of Abraham. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. He knew God's promises. God told him. And he's gonna live that out by being obedient to what God had told him to do. But the question is, if God calls you, are you willing to obey? Are you willing to say, okay, I will do that? Or we go, whoa, wait a minute, God, a little too much. Don't think I can do that. It's not how I'm gifted. It's not what I want to do. No, we step out and say, okay, Lord, I don't know what this is gonna mean, but I trust and believe that you're gonna do something amazing. Are you willing to lay everything aside for the call of God? This is where fear can step in and take hold. Unless we choose faith over fear, because fear will grip. It's a stranglehold on our hearts. We have to trust he's gonna do something amazing. So how do you lay down? How do you put aside? How do you walk away from the very things that hold you back, those fears that hold you back, and being used powerfully for the kingdom of God? Well, again, God's word is powerful. It will teach us the things that we need to do. How do we overcome fear and allow God to do what he needs to do? And then we experience the promises of what he's called us to do. So we're gonna look at a few things here out of God's word that show us we have the ability to step out and do what he's calling us to do. So the first thing I want us to look at is you need to face your Red Sea in faith. Now, God's probably not calling you to go cross over the Red Sea on dry ground with walls of water next to you. But what is your Red Sea moment? The fear that's gonna hold you back. What is it you look at and say, no, I can't do that because of what God is doing? Think about how you'd like to face that Red Sea. How willing are you to walk, trusting that God's gonna do something incredible in the midst of your fear? And the Red Sea, it wasn't just even the walls of water, it was an army chasing after them, wanting to take them. Are we gonna step out of those fears and step into what God's calling us to do? But look at what Moses said to the people, Moses talked to the people about. Exodus 14:13 says, Moses answered the people, do not be afraid, stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. You need to look at whatever your fear is and say, I need to not fear, stand firm and know that God's going to take care of me in that moment, then we are facing those fears. He doesn't want us to be afraid. He wants us to stand firm in what we know as truth that comes out of the Word of God. That's when we get deliverance from our fear. When we finally say, I'm going to step out and do this, I don't know what it means. All of a sudden we realize, if I do this, God's doing something amazing. And if he does it now, he will continue to do that. But are you willing to say, okay, I'm going to do that? Secondly, what you perceive as your weakness due to fear becomes God's strength. See, we base everything on what we feel or how we view ourselves. But what about when we say, I'm going to step out because I have the very strength of God inside of me through the power of his Holy Spirit? If we look at Abraham leaving home and everything familiar, that's not an easy task to do. That's a huge sacrifice. So how did he find the strength to say, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm going to go do what he's calling me to do? All he did was obey. That says, well, that's not just a little bit. Yeah, that's huge. But all it was to step out and say, I'm going to obey God. That is when you experience the strength God has given you that you can then step in obedience. See, our strength, it's so limited. His strength is unlimited. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Do you get that? His power is made perfect in where we are weak. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I love this. I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong. So what he's saying is, in those times where I just feel so weak, God's strength is there. I just have to walk in his strength, not mine, because I will fail. I will fall down. But his strength is unlimited. Delighting in weakness means fear, then you break the grip of fear. When you delight in your weaknesses, knowing God's going to step into that place, it destroys that fear. But you have to be willing to say, okay, I'm going to do it. We have to depend on the unending, ever-flowing power of God. It never leaves us. It is always there. That's when you stop focusing on the what ifs, or should I, and you begin to focus on saying, I don't have the ability, but God does. And he can do that through his power inside of me. This will be an exercise in faith, saying, I'm going to trust the very strength of God. It's hard letting go, but if we do, he's going to do incredible things. Next thing we have to do is we have to believe. We have to believe what God says is true. Romans 1:20 tells us, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, and those invisible qualities are his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so the people are without excuse. So what he's saying is, what we see and what we know, we need to move out in trust and faith, because then we have no excuse. If God is who he says he is, if he's going to do what he says he's going to do, we have no excuse to say, well, I can't. I don't know, that's too much of a challenge, too much of a sacrifice. No, we have no excuse, because we see the eternal power and the divine nature of God living out in the lives of those we read about in Scripture, but it's going to happen to us as well. Because all we have to say is, okay, God, I will. So the question is, will you believe in who God is and what he says is true? Next, we have to trust the Holy Spirit. And I know sometimes that's hard. That is a huge challenge, because you have to trust in what we don't see. I always said, you know, Jesus, it would be really helpful if you'd sit right here in this chair, sit right next to me so I could see you, touch you, hear you. I'd love that. But that's where faith is being built. Regardless, we must trust what we know. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So you see what he's telling us? The Spirit does not make us timid. It gives us power. It gives us love. God does things that we can't do on our own because he gives us his Holy Spirit. And we know what he says is true because it is the very word of God. Now you need to experience it. The only way you're gonna experience that power is gonna be through faith and trust and be obedient. We have no reason to be timid because we are given power, love, and self-discipline. And if that's the truth, if we are given that ability, why do we let that cling to us? Why do we let it grip hold of us so that we walk in fear and saying, I can't do it? We need to learn to cling to the truth of stepping out, knowing that God is going to do what he needs to do, but he's going to do incredible things through us. Do you believe that today? That God can do incredible things through you if you say, I will obey. Abram stepped out, not knowing where he was going, and look at what God did in his life. He did incredible things. You have the ability to do the same thing, but it's gonna take trusting. Next, and this is a challenge for many of us, especially for me, need to learn to wait. Waiting is a challenge. This is probably one of the biggest challenges many of us go through because we want something immediately, don't we? I mean, how many of us say, I wish we never had microwaves? We love microwaves, don't we? Because it's quick. It heats quickly. And I'm terrible when it comes to being patient. She laughs every time I say that. She knows because I hear about it all the time. You're just not patient. So we were having this discussion in the car about me not being patient. So we were going to pick up Chinese food for dinner, takeout. So we come home and of course they throw in their little fortune cookies. Now, like I said earlier, I don't believe in fortunes, but they're kind of fun to read sometimes, just see what it says. So eat our dinner. I decide I'm gonna open up my fortune cookie. God is so funny. This is what my fortune cookie said. The principal part of faith is patience. Now, that's not a coincidence. I'm sorry. God said, I'll show you this way. So I had to like, okay, Lord, I get it. I understand. I'm not a patient person, but I need to learn through faith. So I took that little fortune cookie and I taped it to my iPad. So every time I look at my iPad, I'm reminded, be patient. Made me laugh. I still laugh when I think about it. But sometimes God uses unconventional ways to get our attention, even through a silly little fortune cookie. Even we make the decision to walk in obedience, that doesn't mean it's going to be immediate. And that's where I struggle. If he says, I think it's gonna be right now. No, it doesn't always work that way. So many times we have to understand that waiting becomes a time of equipping and preparing. God knows. He knows what he needs to do and when he needs to accomplish it. But along the way, he's preparing us to step into that place and say, okay, I'm ready, let's go. We can't force results. Do you ever try to force results with God? First of all, he laughs at you. But second of all, he's saying you're not ready. You need to wait. Have patience. So don't try to force those results. Wait on what it is that he's going to do. So if we go back to the book of Psalms 14, he tells us, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. One sentence, twice he says, wait for the Lord. Think he's trying to get something across to us? And you know who wrote this? It was David. God knew that when Saul was gonna call him to be king, it wasn't gonna happen the next day. It was years before David became king. But what was happening in the interim time? He was preparing him. He was making him ready to take over the role as king. So we have to learn the same thing. Sometimes it takes a while. But God is equipping and preparing us for what it is he's calling us to do. This means you're in preparation stages. He wants to fulfill all that he needs to fulfill to prepare you and equip you for what he's called you to do. And then you can make that step when he calls you. There's gonna be challenges in that journey because Abraham had them. He failed at times. But there's gonna be challenges, but that's why he prepares us and equips us so that we don't fall down saying, I can't do this. We stand in firm and say, okay, I have the very power of God in me. I'm gonna move ahead in what he's telling me to do. It's a part of growing and maturing in faith. That's what the time of waiting is. Receive each of those lessons in faith, knowing that God is working through you and he's going to do something in you to transform you, to be the person he needs you to be, to carry out his plan. And when you do, when you stay in that place of waiting until he calls you, you will see the incredible move of God, and you're going to experience the fruit of what it comes in the time of waiting. You're going to step back and say, man, why didn't I do this earlier? God, you are good. You are good. We look at the story of Abraham. What we see is the call, the promises, and the outcome. The call was to go. He gave the promises that he was going to bless him and bless a nation, and then he was going to see the outcome of that. That story will be your story if you push aside the fears and say, I'm not going to let that fear hold me back from God. I'm going to step out and be fearless in faith and trust, knowing he is going to do what he's done through so many in the passages of scripture that we read. That is when you're going to see this incredible move of God in you. You're going to see the lives that he impacts. See, that's the thing we have to understand. When we follow God's call, when we step out of our fears, it doesn't just transform us. It transforms other people around us because they will see, wow, look at what God's doing. They're going to see the very power of God work in and through you, and it's going to impact them. And you know what happens? It's like throwing a rock in a pond. It ripple effect. It goes and it spreads to more and more people because as you, they see the change in you and they see what God's capable of doing in you, they're going to say, I can do that too. I just need to walk in faith and trust, knowing that God's going to do something amazing. Grab hold of that power he's placed in you and trust and believe in that. There's a man named Lloyd Ogilvie. He was a Presbyterian minister. He served as chaplain for the Senate from 1995 through 2003. And I found this statement that he made that I just thought was so powerful. This is what he said. The most powerful historical proof of the resurrection is the resurrected disciples. That's us. That's how we see God work and move. Dull, defeated people became fearless, adventuresome leaders. Cowards became courageous. The timid became triumphant. The inept did the impossible. He is risen became the joyous chant of a new life without limits. Isn't that, to me, is just an amazing statement, because really what he's saying is affirming what scripture tells us, that we can do amazing things because we have the joyous chant of he has risen. And there's where we see the power of God. You are the proof of a risen Savior who called you to go into the world proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. If we are called, then we're given the power to carry out that call. Too many times we think it's based on us and our shoulders get tired, our legs get weary, and we say we can't. But no, if we realize we have the power of God, it is endless power that he gives us. Ephesians 3, 20 through 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. And he uses that word immeasurably. You know what that means? There is a way that is too large and too great on our own understanding. It goes beyond the things that we think can happen, the things that we think we can do. Because his power is immeasurable. You can't measure his power. You can't measure his greatness. You can't measure the authority of the Holy Spirit in your life. It goes beyond anything that you can even begin to imagine. Think about that. We can't even imagine what he can do. This is what will defeat your fears when you believe in that and trust and believe that God can do immeasurably more than all you can ever imagine. That breaks down the fear that we have to say that we can't. It becomes the power of God and not our strength. If the strength is going to flow freely, is beyond measure, then why do we say, no, I can't? It's endless. God can do incredible things when we say yes. Don't let fear stand in the way of everything that God wants to use you for, that what he wants to accomplish through you. Why do we let fear stand in the way when we know from his word there is no reason that we need to walk in fear? He's greater than that fear. So don't be afraid. Be fearless. Allow God to do powerful things in you and through you. And I keep going back to the whole idea. It makes an impact in multiple people, people who may not even realize that it's impacting them because you said, I'm not going to walk in fear. He's opened those opportunities for you. You need to step into them and see what he's able to do. And maybe you've been called to serve in the church. Oh, no, that's not for me. I can't do that. I mean, I was always the one that said when it came to kids, forget it. I was the worst when it came to that. But if God's calling you, that means he's equipped you. He's prepared you. He's saying you're ready now to go and step into that place. Go ahead. See what you can do. Maybe he's called you to pray with others. Go and pray with them. Oh, no, I can't. I'm not really good when it's praying. I struggle with that. I don't know what to say. Why are you worried about that? You're talking to your father. Talk to your father. I shared earlier that years and years ago, before I was even a pastor, I didn't like to pray out loud. I didn't think I could pray well enough. And so one night I said to my wife, I'm going to prayer meeting tonight, which she thought something's wrong with me. But I went, and that began the start of me learning how to pray in a way that I wasn't based on me, but I was trusting God in that. Now, I did look at the prayer list, and I figured out which one I had to pray for, and I started formulating prayer, but I don't have to do that anymore. But it was a time of preparation for me to learn to pray. So if God's calling you to pray for somebody, do that. If God's calling you to go to somebody you don't know here, say, I don't know them. I'm going to go meet them, but I'm a little timid. Go and do it. There is no timidity when it comes to the things of God. Go step out and say hello to that person. Now, you're not being called to give your life story. You're called to say, hey, how are you? I'm so-and-so. What is your name? I'm glad I got a chance to meet you. That's all that it takes. Because that person's going to walk away and say, wow, they were really nice. I'd like to get to know them. Do it. See what God can do. If you say, well, no, I'm timid, you're shutting it down, saying God can't do this. Yes, he can. It takes you to be obedient. Maybe you're called to be a witness in your neighborhood, in your place of work, whatever it may be. Do it. God's given you the ability. He's given you the power to do it. So step out and do it. And when you start doing that, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to go, wow, I didn't think God could use me in that way. Trust and believe he's going to do something amazing. If it feels like a challenge to you, that's good, because we need to be challenged. Because there's a world of people out there that don't know Jesus Christ. If he's calling you, you need to step out and you need to declare that to those people. But it'll be done in the very strength of God. And it becomes a growing season of faith that pushes against your insecurity or your fear. And you start to see, look at what God is doing. He's going to bless you and bless other people. If you look at men and women of the Bible that stepped out, look at the eternal legacy that they've left. Why do I say that? Because we still get to read this. These stories are still transforming lives to this day. Let him transform you to be who he needs you to be so you can make a difference for the kingdom of God. So we can't say, well, that's just for them. No, this is for us. There's stories to encourage us and to help us to know that we can do those same things if we trust and believe in God. You can be used in the same way and make a difference for the kingdom of God. You are a child of God, and you can do immeasurably more than anything you can ever imagine. But it's going to take you to say, I have to trust and have faith that if I do it, he's going to do what he tells me he's going to accomplish. Are you willing to do that? When we do that, that's when we see God do great things. But the question is, are you willing to do it? I want to pray for us today, because I know fear can be debilitating, can hold us. So I want to pray for us so that as we seek God, he starts to break down those things that we have held on so tightly to. It's important that what God's speaking to you today, that you bring that before him. Say, God, you know, this is my fear, and I don't want to walk in that anymore. I don't know what your fears are, if you even have any, but you do. Bring that before God, and he's going to start to transform you in a way that he can use you powerfully for his kingdom work. So let's pray. Father, sometimes your word challenges us to a point we say, I'm not sure. Sometimes we get called to do things that we say, no, I'm not capable. I'm not gifted. I don't have the time. But so many times we use those things as an excuse to not do what God calls us to do. So today, Father, I pray for anybody that's here and they had that fear that they're focusing on right now, you begin to speak into them. I pray, Father, you will start to stir in their hearts saying, my son, my daughter, why are you so worried about this? I've got this. Because I've given you my strength through my Holy Spirit that resides in you. So today, Father, I pray right now for anybody that's struggling in those fears, you begin to break down and tear apart those fears so that they no longer will walk out of here today, focus on those fears, but focus on you, the strength that you have, the incredible work that you can do, the immeasurable power that you have given us so we can stand and be firm in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that your power will be poured out everyone here so they know that they do not need to fear any longer. The enemy wants to use those fears against us. Today, Father, I pray you will break those down. You will step on them under your feet, that those fears will no longer have a grip, but they will be free of that to do the incredible work that you've laid before them. Help us, Lord, to not say, no, I can't, but say, yes, I can through the power of God working in me. Fear debilitates. Fear can destroy. Fear can hold us back. So today we pray against that in the name of Jesus Christ, so we will walk in the strength that God has provided for us. You gave us your Spirit for that very purpose. Why do we not want to grab hold of that power? Help us to say, yes, Lord, I can and I will. So as we leave here today, Father, I pray you've transformed hearts. I pray that you've opened eyes to see the power of your word in creating us a heart that says, I will be obedient no matter what that means. And then, Father, help us to see and enjoy the fruit that comes out of that obedience, to see what you have the ability to do in us and through us to impact the kingdom of God in a way, Father, that other lives are changed and transformed. Help us to focus on what you can do through us, not on what we say we can't. And Father, may stories begin to pour out for those that said, I didn't think I could, but look at what God can do. And Father, if you call us to serve, help us say, yes, I will serve. Because you call us for a very unique purpose. Help us to believe and trust that you're going to do something amazing. So Father, today we're gonna leave here in trust and faith, knowing that what you say you will do, that you will accomplish that in your way and in your time. And through that, we get to enjoy the fruit of being obedient to you and seeing the impact that we can make, all for the glory of God, for his kingdom purposes. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.